Thank you for listening to the Beginner Institute podcast. Please join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beginner Institute, or you can join our email list at http://beginner.com and share these recordings with your family and friends.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ومثل الذين كفروا كمثل الذي ينعق بما لا يسمع إلا دعاء ونداء صم بكم عمي فهم لا يعقلون يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل به لغير الله فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فلا إثم عليه إن الله غفور رحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم أما بعد once again السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're looking at ayah number 171 of Surah Al-Baqarah. The previous conversation we had a couple of weeks ago was about ayah number 170, in which the discussion revolved around one topic, and that was of the disbelievers justifying their behavior when they were called to something better. They say, well, we're committed to what we found our ancestors committed to. So they have this sense of loyalty and allegiance, and that's their justification for not leaving their lifestyles. And we had somewhat of a detailed conversation about that. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions right after that a parable. وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي يَنْعِقُوا بِمَا لَا يَسْمَعُوا إِلَّا دُعَاءً وَنِدَاءً. This parable is one of the more difficult parables in the Qur'an. And in order to get started, I should mention that there are essentially, in Old Arabic, there are two ways of giving examples, two fundamental ways of giving examples. There's tashbih and there's tamthil. These are difficult terms, but I'll try to make it as easy as I can. Tamthil is basically when you give an example, to help students or listeners understand something, and every little component of your example relates to something in reality. Like if you're giving an example about, okay, let me help you understand this concept with a car, it has four tires, it has this, it has that, everything you mention has to do with something that the teacher wants you to understand. That's tashbih. So it's kind of you need to pay attention to a microscopic detail to everything in the tashbih and compare it to what the actual lesson is. Bring it back to reality. Tamthil is a little bit different than that. Tamthil is where one scenario is compared to another scenario. The overall picture. This situation is like that situation. It's not that every little bit will be compared to every other little bit. It's not a micro view, it's a macro view. You step back and you take a bigger picture look, and then this situation is similar to that situation. And it's important to know in the Quran when you're looking at tashbih and when you're looking at tamthil, because that can really impact your understanding and it can really create a lot of confusion. Also, so this particular ayah is a tamthil, where one scenario is compared with another scenario. Allah Azza wa Jal begins, وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, the example of those who disbelieved. The example of people who disbelieve. Now, usually when we hear the word الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, we think of non-Muslims, disbelievers, etc. But in the Quran, it's very precise. Which particular brand of disbeliever was just talked about right before? The brand of disbeliever that was talked about was the one who disbelieved in revelation because they are only aligned with, their only allegiance is to their own tradition. That's the brand, that's the particular kind of kafir, the different kind of kufar. People disbelieve for different reasons. But this particular passage is about a very specific kind of kufr. And in that particular kind of kufr, that's the example that's going to be given. The example of disbelievers that I just told you about, that Allah just told you about, وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي يَنْعِقُوا النَّعِقُ أَوْ يَنْعِقُ يعني أَيْ يُصَوِّدْ. Someone who raises their voice like a sheep herder, you know, someone who's herding sheep, The person, they can't just herd the sheep or point the sheep a certain way and the sheep will follow. What does he have to do? He has to make a lot of noise. You know, a goat herder, a sheep herder, or if you're herding cows, you have to make a lot of noise in order for them to move. So now Allah talks about the, or shepherd if you will, right? Allah talks about the disbelievers and switches over and says they're like the shepherd. But the shepherd here is a representation of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So instead of being like comparing the disbelievers to the Messenger, a situation is being compared with a situation. So let's understand the scenario Allah is painting, and then we'll appreciate better what Allah is saying. In other words, how is this a situation compared to that of the disbelievers? So there's a shepherd, and he's making calls. يَنْعِقُ بِمَا لَا يَسْمَعُ إِلَّا دُعَاءً وَنِدَاءً. And he's calling and making a loud noise, making lots of loud noise to a creature that has no ability to listen. And the only thing they hear, إِلَّا دُعَاءً وَنِدَاءً, they hear calls and cries. دُعَاءً وَنِدَاءً in Arabic is a figure of speech. In other words, when you're not listening to somebody, all I hear is noise. You know how it's, as an expression of being condescending to someone, you're talking, but all I hear is noise. Or we say in modern English, blah, blah, blah. Right? Yap, yap, yap. That's all this creature hears. No matter what you say, no matter what the shepherd hears, or says rather, the sheep don't hear anything. They just hear sound. That's all they hear. They don't know what that sound is worth or anything. So Allah says, وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي يَنْعِقُ بِمَا لَا يَسْمَعُ إِلَّا دُعَاءً وَنِدَاءً, implying the shepherd is making a lot of noise. Now sometimes the shepherd sings, because he's got to keep himself entertained too. Sometimes he just says words that don't make any sense, like, hey, come on, move it, etc. You know, whatever noise he makes, it doesn't make a difference to the sheep. They're just going to move. That's all that matters. So Allah paints this picture of people that refuse to believe are like sheep. No matter how powerful the message is, they don't hear it. They don't process what is being said. But there's a fundamental difference between this comparison and the disbelievers. There's a fundamental difference. Do the sheep follow the shepherd anyway? They do. The shepherd makes a lot of noise, and if the sheep are domesticated, they'll follow. They won't run off. And if they do, he makes a little bit more noise, and they go. If dua doesn't work, dua and nida, by the way, dua is a lower call, and nida is a higher call. So nida, you raise your voice higher. So in the beginning, the shepherd makes a little bit of noise and everything's working out fine. Then a sheep gets out of line, and what does the shepherd do? He raises his voice, dua'an wa nida'an. So if dua didn't work, nida will work and the sheep will follow. The problem though is the previous ayah told us the disbelievers don't follow. So there seems to be a contrast being painted. Their example is like sheep, but wait a second, sheep actually follow. Before I go on, you should know, Allah Azza wa Jal talks about some things in some places and explains them in other places. And the Qur'an is supposed to be thought about in these interconnections. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in another place, this is a Meccan ayah, even though in the Mus'haf it's coming later, in Surah Al-A'raf, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلِ. They are like cattle. Sheep, you know, cows, etc. They're like cattle. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلِ. They're even more lost. Even cattle or sheep, when you call them, and they don't understand what you're saying, even then they listen. At least even then they protect themselves from danger and they listen. You're even worse. You're even worse. Then the question arises, why are they worse than cattle? What makes them, how are they impaired in a way that even cattle has an ability that they don't have? That's what the rest of the ayah does. Summun, bukmun, umyun. Summun, they're not able to hear, deaf. This is the plural of asam. Alladhi yu'ani min asamam. Right, someone who suffers from not being able to hear. Bukmun is a plural of abkam, someone who cannot speak. Someone who cannot speak. Umyun, blind. This is a common expression in the Quran, summun, bukmun, umyun, right? Deaf, the politically incorrect translation is deaf, dumb, and blind. But we don't use dumb anymore, we say mute, right? So deaf, mute, and blind. Let's try to understand that a little more carefully. If the creature is deaf, no matter how much you call, makes a difference or no? No. And if the creature gets lost, at least if it's in danger, it can cry for help. And if it cries for help, even if it can't hear the shepherd, at least the shepherd hears the sheep and he can come and help it out. But not only is it deaf, it is also mute. So if it gets in danger, it can't even help itself. Okay, maybe it can't hear and it can't speak. It can't hear and it can't be heard. Those two things are gone. Now for the sheep that's lost, at least maybe it goes astray and it sees the shepherd and realizes it's gone off the path, so maybe it can get back. But what's the third problem? Umyun is blind. It's blind. Summun, bukmun, umyun. Al-Sha'arawi rahimahullah talked about the benefits of this sequence. It's really brilliant stuff. He says Allah mentions, you know, the incapability of listening first. Because people who refuse guidance, the first crime they committed was a refusal to listen. That's the first crime they committed. You know, the ability to hear is directly connected to receiving guidance. That's why in those who accept Allah's guidance, you know what the first expression they deliver is? سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We heard and we obeyed. The disbeliever said, you shouldn't believe. And what was the strategy for not believing? لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Don't listen to this Quran. Don't use your ears. The crime of rejecting the messenger is a crime of not listening to him. Of not listening to him. Not responding. If you don't even listen to him, then you have no idea what to respond to. The rest of it is irrelevant now. So summun is first. Then there's a logical connection between summun and bukmun. The ability to speak gives you the ability to ask questions to learn more. You know, like in a class, you're listening to the teacher. Teacher's explaining something. Then a question pops up in your head and you speak your question. If the speaking never, the hearing never even was exercised, then there's no point of the speech. So in a practical sense, you're mute, you're silent. Like a student who's not listening to the teacher will also not be asking questions. I can tell you as an experienced teacher. Right? The student who's not listening in class will also not be asking questions. The student who's listening in class will say, wait, could you repeat that please? Could you say that again please? هَلَّكَ أَنْ تُعِيدَ مَا قُلْتُ Right? You guys say this all the time, right? Or could you repeat? I didn't understand. I zoned out for a second. I need to listen carefully. This happens all the time for a student. And this is why actually previously we've already read, لَا تَقُولُوا رَعِنَا وَقُولُوا انْظُرْنَا وَاسْمَعُوا. You know, sometimes the Sahaba wouldn't understand what the Prophet is saying. So Allah said, don't say رَعِنَا, say انْظُرْنَا, look towards us. Show us some courtesy. It's a nice way of saying, could you repeat what you said? But then Allah said, by the way, before you say that, wasma'u, listen to begin with. In other words, the fact that you had to say, could you repeat that? Could you give us some extra time? Is because you weren't listening carefully enough the first time. So Allah adds, wasma'u, walil kafiruna adhabun muhin. It's really interesting how Allah does that. Now in this ayah, from an outsider point of view, look at the imagery. You know when someone, this is again a Sha'arawi's example, I thought it was really brilliant. If you're raised in a household where everybody speaks Arabic, what are you going to speak as you grow? Speak Arabic. You're raised in a household, everybody speaks Bangla. You've been listening to Bangla since you were born. What are you going to speak? Bangla. You're raised in a household where everybody speaks Urdu. What are you going to be raised speaking? Urdu. In other words, what you speak is a product of what you hear. Our ability to speak is a direct result of what we've been listening to. That's how a child learns to speak, by listening. If the ability to listen is taken away, what is then also taken away as a logical consequence? The ability to speak. So Allah takes the ability to listen away first. And then the logical consequence, first summun, then bukmun. Makes total sense. Summun, bukmun. And then the third is umyun. And here we appreciate something really deep about the Qur'an. I've made mention of this a couple of times before, I'll make mention of it again. Qur'an says there are two kinds of ayat. There are two kinds of ayat. One kind of ayat comes from revelation. One revelation are ayat of Allah, miraculous signs of Allah. You're supposed to listen to them and then ask questions and try and understand, interact, engage with these ayat. The other ayat were always there. Before revelation came, they were there. After they came, they're still there. What are these ayat? Ayat al-kawn, ayat al-khalq. Mountains, trees, the ocean, the skies, etc., etc. The revelation, the ayat of revelation lead us to guidance. The ayat of creation, if you think about them, they also lead us to guidance. But the thing is, the ayat themselves don't lead to guidance. You have to think about them and then you get to guidance. Even the ayat of revelation, somebody can hear them and not think about them and they won't get guidance. The ayat of creation are exactly the same way. Everybody sees mountains, everybody sees trees, everybody feels the breeze. But the people who think about them will ask the question, this didn't come out of nowhere. They'll ask a deeper question. Now, summun, bukmun, umyun. Summun and bukmun takes away your ability to appreciate the ayat of revelation. What takes away the ability to appreciate the ayat of creation? Umyun. The two means of guidance we have to guidance to Allah are the ayat. Either ayat of revelation, ayatul Quran, right? Or their ayatul khalq. Those are the two means we have of guidance. When a person is deaf, mute, and blind, they are completely cut off from all sources of guidance. This is why these guys are even worse than animals. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلٍ إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِ Allah says. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ The lowest of the low. These are expressions in Quran of basically saying you're worse than animals. Even animals can take some heed. You know, even they can do that. They can look at something around them and figure something out. You can't. That ability is taken from you. Let's talk about it now from the point of view of our own time. This is the general teaching of the ayah. But how does it apply to our time? And what kind of psychology, what kind of thought process is Allah talking about here, subhanahu wa ta'ala? When a person has an allegiance to nation, or to tribe, or to family, or to tradition, these are all normal things, by the way. Everybody has them. Everybody loves their country. Everybody loves their culture. Everybody loves their tradition. Nothing wrong with it. Everybody loves their family. But when that love becomes obsessive, it can blind you and make you mute and make you deaf. And when that happens, no matter how much reason you get, even if you're a Muslim, no matter how much someone tries to reason with you, don't do this, this is haram. Don't do it. You will say, no, this is how our family does it. None of the ayat will matter, none of the ahadith will matter. You'll just say, I know. I gotcha, thanks. Thanks for the khutbah. But we're doing the wedding this way. Okay? Thanks for the speech. But we're not interested. This is the scenario being painted. Even if you can show them, look, these are the consequences of what, this is what happens when you do this. Last time I picked on the example of marriages, extravagant weddings, if you recall. Let's pick a different example, a career path. Somebody's going into a questionable career path, into a questionable business. They're going into a liquor business. And you try to tell them, no, don't do this. And they tell you, don't worry about it, bro. I'm going to go to Hajj every year. It's okay. It'll be fine. All the debit will be credited. It'll even out. Don't worry about it. I already heard what you have to say. It's not that haram anyway. Allah talks about wine, not beer. It's okay. There's no ayah about Budweiser. It's fine. You know? People say things. I've heard these things said. This is not like abstract. I've actually heard them with my own ear. I don't know if I told you. I was at an Eid gathering one time. And there was a person sitting there. Just totally casual saying that, yeah, there's nothing wrong with beer. Because it's haram because it impairs your judgment. And when I drink, it doesn't impair my judgment. It's not haram for me. And this is at Eid. And I'm like, clearly your judgment's already impaired. Right? It doesn't affect me. And even if it does, Allah says khamar, which is wine. And nowadays we have different kinds of alcohol. There's no mention of vodka. There's no mention of, you know, shiners. There's no mention of beer. There's no, you know, it's just wine. Okay, fine, I'll stay away from wine. You know, and maybe the Arabs only had red wine, so white wine's okay too. And you know, wow, mashallah. This is exactly what color cow, how many spots, and that's exactly what that is. That's what that is. But nonetheless, when a person reaches that point, then reasoning is pointless. They won't see it. And so the last comment I'll make about Summun Bukmun Umyun is a very important comment. You know, Allah says at the end of this ayah, and even the previous ayah said, وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ They don't commit themselves to guidance. This ayah, he said, أَنْسْ فَهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ They don't understand. Actually, what it implies here is they refuse to think. They have refused the faculty of thinking. Now, someone who clearly thinks, the net result will be they will be committed to guidance. The previous ayahs already told us they refuse to commit themselves to guidance. The next ayah is telling us, why don't they ever commit themselves to guidance? Because they refuse to think. Or refusing to apply their intellect. They're not going to think about it. You'll meet people like that, even Muslims. You'll talk about deen even a little bit. They'll say, can we change the subject? Can we talk about something else, please? Please, this is depressing. I don't want to think about this stuff. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it. فَهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ They're going to refuse to think. They're not going to understand. Aql is not just understanding. In Arabic language, al-fahm is understanding. Fahm. Aql is applying your intellect also. Not just understanding. Using your brain to get to understanding. They're not even going to use their intellect. Not even going to give a thought. فَهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And they're the ones that are not going to apply their intellect. Now Allah comes to the real subject matter. You know, people who follow certain traditions, most of the time it's not because they're in love with their tradition. They're in love with something haram. That's what the bottom line is. People can't let go of haram things. Things that are forbidden are attractive. And in most of our traditions, there are no problems except when those traditions contradict the teachings of our deen. When you end up in riba or khamar or in like in impermissible sources of income, or you cross the line. And then you can't come out and say, well, I want to cross the line because it's my temptations, my desires, and I'm not that interested in the halal. You just put a nicer label on it. No, this is our tradition. That's the safer label. Makes you seem like a more decent person. It's not your tradition. It's not your tradition. You're just masking your love of haram. That's all it is. So Allah calls a spade a spade. He calls it out like it is. The next ayah is basically the underlying problem. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Those of you who have iman, consume from the good and pure things out of what we've provided you, what we've provisioned you. وَشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ. And be grateful to Allah. If you were grateful to Allah for the halal things, your eyes wouldn't turn to the haram things. You wouldn't be tempted to begin with. Allah mentions gratitude here for a very particular reason. People who go to the haram after leaving the halal, they go because they say the halal is not enough for me. It's not enough, I need more. I'm not satisfied. I need to quench my thirst more. And Allah is teaching us the reason, the very fact that you're saying you need more is because you haven't learned to be grateful. The halal is something you should be grateful for two reasons. One, the halal has blessings in it. You don't just eat the food, you get rewards at the same time. It doesn't just have goodness that it's good and pure by Allah's standards, it increases goodness inside you. And the haram is like a poison even if you don't see it. When you eat haram, when you earn haram, you may not see the effects of it right away. It's not like lead poisoning in the paint. But when you buy a house with haram money, the fights that will happen in that house, the divorce that will be coming, the children that will be abandoning you, the depression that's going to happen in the house, the yelling and screaming that will happen, it's all a byproduct of the haram money that was put in. Look at them, I mean, it's a scary thing. Look at the masajid across the country, and there's a lot of masajid, alhamdulillah, being built, sometimes with questionable income. It's sad to say. You know why? I told you already, right? People that go into haram businesses have a guilty conscience, so what do? They donate a little extra to the masjid in Ramadan, especially in Ramadan. The guy who owns like 6 liquor stores and lotto machines comes and drops a $50,000 check, and everybody screams takbir. And then they wonder the next year, why is the masjid having a lawsuit? Where did all this la'na come from? Where did that filth come from? You know, قُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Be grateful to Allah. وَشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ. And this is not going to be possible for you except if إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. If in fact, it is only He that you have remained enslaved to. This concept of ta'budun, when it's so unfair to translate it as if you worshipped him. It's so unfair. Man. This is why Allah chose the Arabic language to deliver this Quran. You know the word ta'buduna, the mudari' form, the present tense form, either comes from abada or abuda, both. Most people know abada. Abada, he worshipped. Abuda, he became enslaved. Yani asbaha abidan, abuda. When Allah says, إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ, He's saying, if it is only He that you have been worshipping, at the same time He's saying, if it is only He that you have been enslaved to, if you've accepted the fact that you're slaves. And if you, and by saying that, what Allah is implying is, right now it seems because you're not grateful, and because you're interested in haram, you may be worshipping me, but you're still enslaved to money. You're still enslaved to some desire, some temptation. You're slaves to something else. It's very possible for a Muslim to worship Allah and not be a slave. It's a scary concept, but it happens all the time. How many people we know, they're diligent in their worship, but you don't see them acting as slaves of Allah when it comes time to deliver inheritance, or you know, the way they spend their money, what they spend their money on, how they earn their money, you know, the stuff they do in their private times. They're not enslaved to Allah. They're just worshiping Him. That's the Christian concept. Worship Him and do what you want. That's not the Muslim concept. We've submitted ourselves to Allah. That's why, you know, I don't knock on English translations of the Quran, but I do say there's a need for refinement. There is a need for serious refinement, because there's some deep stuff here that just gets overlooked. It gets passed over, and someone might think, "Well, I'm worshiping Allah, so it's good enough. I'm good to go." No, no, no. Allah is asking for more. In kuntum iyyahu ta'budun, innama harrama 'alaykumul maytata wad-dama wa lahma al-khinziri. You know, you need to put these ayat in context. Right now, we're living in, for us, for example, we're here in Irving. There's like 6 or 7 halal meat shops nearby. Halal food is available. It's not like the only food available is pork. It's not like that. It's not like there's a shortage of farms. We're in Texas after all. Right? These guys are in Medina. They're in the middle of a desert. Is there a huge abundance of animals or a shortage? There's a shortage. So the way to eat an animal permissibly is you slaughter it. But how many animals in the heat, they die? And you don't have a huge supply of cows. There's a dead animal right there, but now Allah says you can't eat it. For you and I, well, that's easy. Okay, well, we'll need to throw it away. For them, it's not that easy. They don't have a fridge. They don't have storage. They don't have mass supplies. They were counting on this for this month's food. And now Allah says this one's haram. إِنَّمَا حَرَمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالدَّمَى and blood. Blood is half the weight of the animal. That was their stew. That's gone too. In other words, by Allah saying, eat the halal, He's actually saying, consume less. You have a lot more available to you, but you need to be very selective in what you can consume. It's hurting the economy. Literally, it's hurting their economy. You know? And so, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالدَّمَى وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ. And there's not a huge diversity of animals, so if they have khinzir, they're going to eat it. No, the flesh of khinzir is gone too. Man, it's Allah's like putting restriction, restriction, restriction. And it really hurts the bottom line. Literally, it hurts the bottom line. وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. And anything that has been slaughtered or sacrificed in the name of other than Allah, you can no longer eat it. So you were, now imagine the Muslims. The Muslims, it doesn't mean their entire family has become Muslim. They're living with their Christian and Jewish, you know, old friends, mushrik friends even, or family, uncles or whatever. And they have one pot they eat from. They're eating from one pot. But now if the mushrik slaughtered it in the name of, you know, Lat, Manat, or Uzza, and he slaughtered the food, and they used to eat together, now he can't even eat that. Oh man, this is not easy. وَمَا أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ. However, whoever was forced, غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ, whoever was compelled, not out of rebellion, nor out of animosity. There's two things here, باغ and عاد. البغي والعداوة. Baghi means, you know, sometimes you have, especially teenagers do this, right? Hey, don't touch that. Oh yeah? What you gonna do now? I'm gonna touch it 3 times then. I told you don't go there. Oh, seriously, don't go there? Watch me. You tell someone not to do something, and out of rebellion, just because they feel like this is a means of them expressing their power, I'm gonna do it just because it's wrong. I'm gonna do it just because it's not allowed. Why do you think teenagers love speeding on the highway? Not because it's fun, but because it's illegal. That's what the allure is. Right? That's what the allure is. Baghin is, oh, I can't eat that? Yeah, I'm gonna. See what happens. What's the big deal? This is baghin. Aad is, you hate the law. You can't stand. I can't eat anything. I can't take it anymore. I'm not eating it. You know? I'm just one time. Doesn't matter. This is aad. Now, let's understand what ibturra is. The one who's forced. In other words, you're about to die. You're in the desert. You got lost in the journey. There's a swine right there in front of you. There's a boar. You're about to die of thirst. There's no water. There's no food around you. At that point, it's not haram anymore. That's, Allah says, fine. You're dying? Go ahead. It's halal. فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. Then there's no sin on him. Then the Muslim will eat pork. He's going to feel good about himself? No. In order to, he'll feel dirty inside. Any bite he takes. I mean, if you find it, you're in the middle of your food, somebody tells you, by the way, that has pork in it. What would you do? Other than throw up. You know? And it's not like, well, I'm in the middle of a desert and I already slaughtered the boar. Might as well, you know, get a little, have the whole thing. Why waste? Just take enough to survive and move on. Don't touch it. But don't feel guilty after that either. فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. There's absolutely no sin whatsoever upon him. لَوْ قَالْ فَلَا إِثْمٌ عَلَيْهِ مَعَ التَّنْوِينِ إِثْمٌ عَلَيْهِ فَهُنَاكَ يعني مِقْدَارٌ قَلِيلٌ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ بَاقِي.
If he said فَلَا إِثْمٌ عَلَيْهِ, then it means, okay, overall there's no sin, but there's a little bit sin. He says فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ, فَتْحَ, مَنْصُوب. You know what this لَا دَافِيَ لِجِنْسِ is called. There's absolutely no sin on him whatsoever. He shouldn't worry about it at all. None whatsoever. If it's a matter of life and death. Now you and I, if we say, well, you know, I work in this neighborhood and the closest halal restaurant is like 3 miles away, you know, gas is expensive, therefore I'm forced. No, you're not. Don't kid yourself. If you're able to make that case before Allah, well, all the best to you. But don't play games with that, with the law. This surah is about people who played games with Allah's law. And then at the end of all of it, and describing how Allah has cursed them, then he started talking to us. So we don't become that. We don't become that, you know? So, فَمَا أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنِ اطْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. No doubt about it. Certainly Allah is exceedingly forgiving. Extremely forgiving. He's always merciful. And what this implies also is some, there are gems in this. By Allah making certain things haram on us and us staying away from them, staying away from the haram in and of itself is a source of Allah's forgiveness. In and of itself is a source of getting mercy from Allah. Eating the halal is also earning Allah's forgiveness. Eating the halal is also a way of getting Allah's mercy. Every time you sit on the table and you eat something halal from your halal income, that in and of itself is Allah showing His forgiveness and mercy to you. What an amazing master we have. Inna Allah ghafur rahim. You haven't even made istighfar. You just ate halal. You just did that and Allah is giving you maghfirah. Inna Allah ghafur rahim. No doubt about it. In other words, at the end of it, and we'll end with this ayah, there's a scale offered. And the scale is, look, on the one hand, you have less to eat now. There are more restrictions now. So there's less at your disposal. So how are you compensated? Well, this is what you get in return. On the other side, this is all the debit. You can't take blood, you can't take the animal that died, you can't eat, you know, the animal slaughtered in other than the name of Allah. Fine. All of those accessories are now taken away from you. Except in the case of life and death. Fine. What do I get in return? All this stuff is taken away from me. What do I get? You get forgiveness and mercy. What can you ask for? Who could say that? And shouldn't a believer be more grateful now? Thank you, Allah, for giving us the instruction of halal, because you know we need forgiveness. You know we're up to enough no good. We could use any excuse for forgiveness we can get. So just by us consuming the permissible, we are earning the forgiveness of Allah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us a people that consume from what is good and pure and what is halal and tayyib. May Allah Azza wa Jal remove all elements of haram from our lives, whether it be from our income or what goes into our mouths. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from being those who hear but don't hear, see but don't see, and are unable to say the right thing. May Allah not make us from the sum and bukum and umi. May Allah Azza wa Jal commit all of us to guidance. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.